Welcome back, everyone. When we last left off, our adventurers had started devising a plan. They knew that they needed to get the Emperor in a state where he would be more vulnerable. A way that they could take advantage of the request of their new friend, Mr. Arconas, and also the gifts that he brought. And so, they stretched out throughout the town, speaking with some of the locals, gathering food, gathering wine, and thinking on how they best can help the people around them. Through some agreements between Rutha and Glorio Arconas, Rutha managed to convince him to go among the people, see what he could do to help them, see what he could do to bring them means of employment. And eventually, almost begrudgingly, he agreed to it. And so, that brings us back to where we are today. Our group of friends, rested, are finishing up the last steps in their plan before they bring about the end of the Emperor. All right, and I believe we will start with Rutha. Rutha, you have taken a little bit of time to rest, but the time for rest has passed. Now is the time for action. The rest of your friends are also just finishing up a little bit of a breather as you decide to make whatever decisions you'll go from here.
Yes, well, it seems that the first step of our plan ought to be getting this food, these various items that we've collected, into the hands of those that need them the most. We have to lay a strong foundation if we're to turn the people's attentions against the Emperor. So, I'm going to need someone to come with me as we pass these things out and kind of lay some groundwork, spread some word.
Well, I think you had other plans for me, so I think maybe somebody else should. I don't know. Thank you.
Perhaps it would be beneficial if, since those if those of us who are in the employ of the Emperor were, maybe there was a disguise or an element that was helping to get the people turned around again. Maybe if Blackjack made some appearances, people would start to see some change happening. Do you think that might actually...
Are you referring to me?
Well, yes. If the person of Blackjack makes some of these deliveries and helps spread the word about a change that's coming, if, when the time comes and becomes, you know, set upon by Blackjack and several others, the people will certainly be on the side of the one who's been caring for them and trying to turn the tide a bit.
Sounds like it could work.
All right. Well, then, if you don't mind showing yourself somewhat around the town, maybe we can do some good that way.
I don't know if... Okay.
Or even if it was just leaving them and then giving enough of a glimpse with a note or something, that people would get the idea that what was going on. What I'm concerned about is that we, who people know work for the Emperor, are just walking around trying to make people happy. We'll be facing quite the set-in perceptions about us as our association with the Emperor. When the time comes for that, for the revolution to begin, maybe the spark should... The counter element has already been laying that groundwork rather than those of us who are so recognizable.
Sure.
All right. Then, Helen, or Blackjack, if you don't mind, how about we head out and start finding some people to share this with?
I thought that we were going to organize a sort of a feast and invite the people to come to it.
Yes, but we have to invite the people to come to it. I think that's what this is, right?
Right. We're making some basic preparations. We don't have a lot of time, but we can't just open it all up wide open. I suppose that Shaq and Sindar, and even Cone, I guess, in your actual guys as yourself, you all might be able to help influence the Emperor to make the decision to have the ordeal. Or I guess it might actually be my job to do that. If it's an earnest effort to get him to begin the process of setting up the stage, then I don't see any problem with that.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a good idea. And out of character, I'm pretty sure that's what we were planning to do anyway.
What was that?
We were on our way to the Emperor's to actually get the preparations set up for the stage, for the arena and everything, and make sure the Emperor actually shows up.
Well, Cone was going to be one of the people to invite the Emperor too.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
I think it was Shaq and Cone, if I remember correctly, that were on their way.
Shaq and Ruth are going to be the ones fighting.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not sure why I didn't want Ruth there doing some of the convincing. That seems like that would be one of the important parts. Persuading him, getting him on board. So
I think we all would do well to just go ahead and head that way anyway, and then on our way back, maybe
we're gonna do it tomorrow morning, right?
Yes,
what time are we gonna do it?
How about just before midday? If we can do it, people are out and about early enough that most folks have already started in the marketplaces and things. But we don't want it getting dark on us. It'll need to be early enough in the day that we can make a real difference.
Well,
if you want, I could go and try to spread the word among the people. If it's the same with
perfect.
You, I'd rather not go back and be around the Emperor.
Of course. Then, yeah, if you can hand out the food, or even just leave it places, and sneak about, maybe kind of making it a quiet thing, left by Blackjack or, benevolent forces, people can start talking on their own. They need never to see us. Oh yes, the Red Wizard too.
I think I have an idea.
You could be one of the Red Wizard's gnomes.
He gives Cone the longest sideways glance for that. But says, maybe.
I trust you implicitly. Your judgment is good. And as far as getting people on our side, I think you have the best chance out of any of us, except maybe myself, of convincing people. Sounds like a plan to me. Out of character, let's go ahead with that. Then we're on our way to the Emperor's stronghold.
All right. So you begin making your way back through the streets of Old Quervosa. And you can already feel, the moment you step out of Salvatore's door, the faint drizzle that seems to be perpetual in this area. And even though that the sun is still high in the sky, there is a bit of a dim shade as the strange green mist still seems to pervade the area. And as you step out among the cobblestones, the city, although not bustling, does seem to still be alive as people go about and do their business.
Ruthie's going to be looking for signs that Master Arcano fulfilled his end of the agreement and maybe came down and did some charitable work in the...
Make a perception check.
Okay. That's a total of 15.
15. Okay. Do you go out and search for him?
They people know her face, I guess, at this point. So she could probably ask, kindly just, you know, was there any word from the finer side of town? Has there been anything interesting going on lately here in the streets?
Right. And you do run into this crusty old shopkeeper who's just making his way, sweeping out his front porch steps. He says,
I heard of that guy. He heard he was making his rounds around here, offering people jobs, new starts, that sort of thing. Never really trusted him myself. It's always been interesting. He's got a way with words and people who wouldn't normally do stuff, they do it for him. I don't know, seems creepy to me.
Okay.
Sorry, could you repeat that?
I was asking for 1 sec, I had a mouthful.
Got it.
I guess we're going to go ahead and roll diplomacy here. She's going to kind of make this guy... Well, I've met with Mr. Arcano not too long ago. His intentions seem rather poor. I may be new to the city, but charitable action is certainly making a difference for the better in the world. I'm trying to kind of maybe soften this guy's stance a little, make him a little more receptive.
And what did you get on your... Make a diplomacy check.
Okay, sweet. Let's see. Low rolls today, but a total 22, all the same.
22. You see he looks you in the eye and he says, see, he's got to you too. But if he comes down personally, talks to each person personally, how bad of a chap can he be?
Especially when compared to perhaps some others around, in my experience. She'll look kind of genuinely sad.
Quite a few bit of others, if you ask me. Queenie doing any of us any favors.
She'll smile and move along, having learned what she's looking for. You have a fine day, my friend, and the blessing of Arian Road be with you.
Same with you. Oh, and if you want to see your friend again, he's over in the main square doing more recruiting.
Oh, he's over in the square still?
Yeah, a lot of people to talk to.
Is he talking about Master Arcano?
He is.
Oh, okay. Wow. Midday and he's still out. Okay.
Maybe we should inform him.
Information.
Maybe we should invite him to our event.
A mage as powerful as he would be good to have around, although I'm sure he would be interested in hedging his bet a little. He seems to be interested in preserving his own ends, But that doesn't have to be against our own either. So is he between us and the stronghold? Will we encounter him on our way?
It's a little bit out of your way, but I mean, 2 blocks to the left. From what I can tell, Glorio's smart. He stays out of the Emperor's area.
Well, probably do good to speak with him again. Thank you again very much for your help.
Ain't didn't give you nothing. But you're welcome just the same. It's good seeing a friendly face around every once in a while. And he goes back and picks up his wicker brush.
Before we go, sorry, can I do one quick thing real fast? Does Rutha have an impression of what a copper piece might do for this guy? I know we said that if I just dropped a gold piece, people would like beat each other for it, but would just like one slip to this guy kind of quietly be something that might brighten his day?
Rather than
like, you know, hush hush?
Think about it this way. A copper piece, in my estimation, is... or at least in my games, it's about $1. A gold piece is 100.
Okay, and silver is like 10.
So a silver piece would
exactly.
Gotcha, gotcha. Okay, then even though her sleight of hand is absolutely terrible, Rutha will seek to, or I guess rather, she'll pull out the silver coin, hold it in her hand, and say, "Hey, do you have anything that would cost me a silver piece?"
See, looks up at the money with an almost hungry look in his eye. Sorry, I could sell you a few things. What you looking for?
How about a wary set of eyes? We're looking, or rather, I suppose. Just keep your eyes open around town. We will be here for a while anyway. And anything out of the ordinary that you notice, we would be more than glad to be able to check in with you.
You see, he crosses his arms the moment you say a wary set of eyes and gives you a bit of a skeptical look and says, "Well, I ain't above doing spy work. Report back to
more
you."
More like a watchman, neighborhood.
Sure, whatever you like to call it, you your emperor's folk. Just hear you, me. I don't work for him. I'm working for you, for your gold. Oh, your silver, at very least.
That seems like a perfectly workable arrangement to me. And she'll extend the hand in a handshake with the coin in her palm.
And you see he takes it, feels it, and slides and pockets it very quickly, sis. I'll let you know if anything interesting comes about. But,
excellent.
Anything dangerous comes around, you won't find old Greml.
Greml. Good to know. And she'll, without further ado, go ahead and turn to head out.
All right, and he'll tip his hat in your direction and return to sweeping the cobblestones on the front of his store. You continue down the way. Which direction do you head in? Towards the main square, directly towards the Emperor's location, or in a different location?
Do we all think that we should meet with Glorio again? Or move on?
I believe the consensus was to meet up with Glorio.
What do you think, team?
Guess we can meet with him. We still have a little bit of time.
Is there anything we particularly need to talk with him about?
Well, nothing in particular that I can think of, but perhaps filling him in on what we're...
Glorio's not the Emperor, is he?
Ah, no. Glorio Arconas is the individual that you met up at Palace Arconas.
The guy that sold us everything?
Yes.
For about 10 times the cost.
Sorry, what?
But you got it, and that's the point of the black market.
It is.
I'm like, my gut says Rutha would want to kind of fill him in on what's going down, so she'll head toward where Glorio is still standing.
All right, so you make your way over to the main square. And as you make your way, you can already tell there's a bit of a crowd gathering in this area. And you have to push through a few people in order to actually make your way into the main ring. And inside, you can see Glorio standing absolutely resplendent in some of his finest garb. He has 7 or 8 guards around him. But he has an easy, almost carefree air about him as he walks among the people, takes their hand, talks to them, shakes their hands, and seems to have rather quiet, almost private discussions with each person. You watch as he turns and he sees the woman. The woman that you saw when you first made your way into town. The woman who sold you the flowers for her children, her sick children. And you see he makes his way up to her. And he, as she's sitting on the cobblestones, almost unaware of everything around her, he goes up and seems to speak with her. Do you get closer to listen?
I would.
Yeah, I was about to say, Rutha's not one for eavesdropping, but if anyone else is listening.
Cone, you make your way up?
Yes.
All right. Cone, you make your way up to Glorio, and he's already just down on one knee, holding onto this woman's hand, and he says,
I see it's honest work, but you know there could be so much more that you could accomplish. And you hear the old woman say, oh, no, not me and my children. Simple, honest work is all that I want. And perhaps I can get what I need for them soon. Glorio says, but imagine if there was so much more to life. Imagine being able to sell not flowers to each individual on the street, but to princes, kings, emperors, and diplomats. I could help to make that happen. All you have to do is agree. Simply ask, and I will help. You see the old woman say, oh, I'm not sure. He says, I will not force. But if you choose to come with me, I will give you something, a gift. Something that I give to all of my family. A means of business savvy, if you would. And you see the old woman say, well, that doesn't seem so bad. It's free, right? He says, yes. Yes, it is free. Honestly, it is a gift that keeps on giving, if you would. All I wish to do is see you successful. To see you bring your life up from where it is now, up beyond your wildest dreams. And you see, she says, I just want to help my children. They're really sick, you know. And he says, but you see, with enough money, I'm sure you could find a cure even for their sickness. It will take quite a bit, but who could have your children back playing amongst you once again?
Yes, this is the flower vendor. And you see, at this, she says,
well, for that, I'd do anything. Really, I would. And you see, says, then agree. Agree to let me help you. Bring you back with me. And I will lead you on the proper path. And she says, all right, sure.
And you see he takes her hand And you see, for a moment, he seems to stare very deeply into her eyes. A second passes. 2, 6, 12. And you see she blinks a bit and she says, "Oh, I feel different." And he says, "Ah, yes, that is the gift that I give to you." And she says, I hear a voice in my head. It's kind, gentle. It says that I shouldn't stay here, that I can move on, move forward. And you see she gets up and stands to her feet. It says, "Yes, this is the gift that I give to you. I have personally been a success, but guiding people's lives to a greater and brighter success, well, let me put it this way. I have found the chance of a lifetime. I am the businessman of a lifetime. All I want is for other people to have the success of all of their lifetimes. When you succeed, I succeed. And we can all work together." And you see she looks again, she nods and she says, "Yes, yes. I should. The flowers, they're dying. I should make sure that they are very well taken care of. I'll do that. And I should not sell here. I should sell a little closer to the boundary between here and the old city. A place where people, when they feel their longing, will go and get flowers to help them remember better times." And you see Glorio nods and says, "I will never force you to do what you do not wish to do. But I will guide you, nudge you, help put you on the proper path to your success." And she says, "Yes, yes." And you see she looks at him with a gaze of absolute reverence. Just, "Thank you. Thank you, Glorio." And he says, "Do not thank me. You are family now. Simply lead a life of success. I will know, and I will be pleased." And you see she gets up from her crouch position, and you see she stands with a straighter back than you had ever seen her. It's almost as if she has a purpose, a drive, a goal. And you see she goes and begins to make her way to go find more flowers, better flowers, the means of her own success. You watch as Glorio turns to his guards and says, "One more add to the flock, and there are so many wayward sheep." And he continues on to the next individual.
I'll make my way back to the group and report to them about what I have seen.
She said she heard a voice in her mind? Did I hear that right?
Yes, that is correct.
It seemed like there was some sort of sway. It definitely changed her demeanor.
Well, there are many magics that can do those kinds of things, I suppose. Gloria was altruistic to us. I don't recall being
This seemed different. It was like he was collecting people for his cause for some. It seemed like he was very satisfied with her reaction.
Sounds like a cult.
Possibly. I think our paladin may need to check the definition of that word.
Yes. Well, I suppose it hurt to speak to him some more and see if we can't get a feel for what's going on. And Rutha will walk up to speak with him. This was the plan. And she'll approach, wave. Hello there. Hello again, our friend.
Ah, friend Rutha, was it? I see that you have come to see me as I spread joy and opportunity among the people of the Lost City.
It is a great encouragement to see you honoring your promise. We have been working on some of the same sorts of things among the people, trying to generally raise spirits and help out a bit. But I have to ask, what kind of have you been about since we saw you last?
Speaking with the people of the city, you were quite right. They were in a much worse state than I thought, but I talked with them, managed to convince them, with a little bit of cajoling, that their lives could be better, that there was so much more out there, that the Arcona's family could bring them wealth, fame, glory, and everything that they had hoped for. Everything that they were seeking.
Well, your magics certainly are powerful. My own armor attests to that. I thought it would be good to fill you in, let you know.
Holds up a hand and says, if this is about unsavory business, that I would, of course, a businessman such as myself should have no business knowing. But might be best for me to stop you early.
Oh. I suppose that's fair. Ruth is going to look around and see. It's the main square, so I imagine there are plenty of people.
Oh, there are plenty of people around. And he just... Okay. Yeah, it's... You had to push through a crowd in order to get to Glorio.
Right. Is there a time or a place we could meet more privately and just let you know about some of the things that are shaping up soon?
As you know, my doors are always open for whoever chooses to wander inside.
Perhaps a little closer to where we are now.
See, his face falls ever so slightly. And he says, but there are so many people to talk to. So many people to inspire.
You're not
I'm
wrong.
I'm sure that you understand yourself. If you had the means that you would truly wish to help those around you. Woman, over there. And you see he points to the flower vendor. Says, she has found a new lease on life. All she needed was a little push.
I do remember encountering her earlier. I'm sure that whatever purpose she's found with you is something that will bring her up from what we found her in. It's a rather desperate strait. So I thank you for that.
I only am doing what I promised.
Well, if there's no place we could meet, we do have to be about what we're going to be doing then. Will you be elsewhere in the city later today?
I will be wherever I'm needed.
Very well. Then, until we meet again, we'll be on our way. Thank you again.
No, not a problem in the least bit. And perhaps it won't be too long until we meet again. Please, may Verdruda's peace be with you.
Verdruda. And she, I guess I'll roll the knowledge, what, religion? Or, well, she'll just ask. Is Verdruda your deity?
In a sense, yes.
I note that my part, my deity's involvement is nothing but a joy for me. It is a responsibility, but something that has aided immensely in my work among people. Could you tell me more about your deity? I'd love to learn.
Perhaps at another time. She is the Lady of the Impossible Kingdoms.
Does Rutha remember anything about that? Or that
make a religion check.
Okay. That is a total 20.
Okay. You've heard of something like this. It's old. Very, very old. Possibly beyond another ancient event, simply known as Earthfall. This was 10,000 years even before then. There was a hero, an individual, whether she was human or not. Her race has been lost to time. But she went and fought against one of the spawns of the ancient rough beast, Ragavug. The beast that deities themselves gave their lives in order to seal away at the center of the planet. And with her strength and her army, she managed to hold off a good section of the city from destruction of these creatures of Ragavug. And in doing so, for all of her aid, she was made a minor deity. She is known as the Jungle Princess, as that was the area of land that she helped protect from these world-destroying creatures. And from there, her family, the people of Verdruda, grew, expanded, and were success in and of themselves.
So like a patron deity of the people themselves, this immigrant folk who are here in Gorboza now?
Yes.
Okay. That sounds like some really intriguing religious history that Rutha probably would have picked up on. Great. Okay. Verdruda's story is one of inspirational mien. Growing up in a temple, I remember some of those stories and appreciate your blessing me with her name. I, in turn, would bless you with the name of Arian Road, and wish all her blessings upon you as we part company.
And you see he gives an elaborate bow as he swishes his robe over to the side and say, may you find success in all that you do.
As we part company, Rutha, back, it was a male voice that the Flower Lady heard, is that right?
You didn't hear the voice that she heard.
No, but when Cone told the story, was it a... I'm assuming Cone transmitted the details of what was said.
Yes.
Did the Flower Lady say his voice in her head? Hmm.
I don't remember if she said his.
I don't believe she said there is a voice in my head. And this voice is telling me to.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Then, someone may need to speak with the lady soon. As it stands, I think we're better served going ahead and speaking with the Emperor, but it's a concerning wrinkle in all this that's been going on. Just remember to follow up on that. On we go then.
All
back
right.
To the Emperor.
Yeah, I think we should head over there pretty as soon as possible.
All right. And you choose to leave the company of Gloria Arcona as he continues to the people, smiling broadly, continuing to shake hands, and possibly swaying people to a different position. You make your way through the streets, and once again, the cobblestones are slick with the rain. And as you turn and make your way down a very familiar alley, you hear a voice call out, "Halt, who goes there?" It says, "Oh, some newbies. What do you need?"
"An audience with the Emperor, if you don't mind."
"Again? You're tired of having your head on your shoulders?"
"Yeah, it's getting kind of heavy, to be honest."
"I could do you a favor and do it right here. No, I won't even charge a penny."
"It's awful kind of you, but you know what? I think I have some use for it right now. As hard as that is to believe.
World's full of mysteries, ain't it?"
"Well, we'll keep our heads, if you don't mind. The news we have for her is certainly rather interesting. I think he would certainly appreciate being informed, and sooner rather than later."
"This news is interesting, you say. Could probably tell it to me. If I find it interesting, I could take it to him."
"Well, we're in his employ now, so he doesn't really need to..."
"Hey, walk us. I have seniority."
"Well, actually, okay, let me... Well, how do we explain this? Rutha, how would you best explain what we're doing?"
"Well, you may have noticed my armor is bright and shiny. I serve a goddess who is all about making people feel better."
"I did notice you're doing well for yourself. Much better than last night."
"Well,
came here in your skivvies, and now you get the special cloak and armor. Think you're all special."
"Well, favor comes to those who seek it out sometimes, but other times, it's simply a blessing, and I thank the deity I serve for. That's why I've joined the Emperor's employ, is to hopefully bring some good to the people of this town."
You see, he narrows his eyes and says, "Is that true? Like, really true? Is that what you really believe?"
And she'll smile, she'll point to the kind of sparkling outfit she's wearing, and honestly say, "I am a paladin, and I serve a goddess who is good."
"Ah.
I wouldn't lie about this."
"I forgot. Paladin. Dumb folk. Alright, you can do what you want."
"Well, suffice to say that the news involves something that I think everyone will find alleviating, maybe even exciting, yourself included. So when the news comes out, you'll have been one of the first to be privy to it."
You see, he grins a very gap-toothed grin and says, "Sure, good news." But he does step to the side and doesn't bar your way anymore.
"Cool. All right, make our way inside."
All right, you make your way inside. And the... Every few steps, you see another patrolling guard who turns to you with a immediately wary eye, but then very quickly recognizes you. one of the things you did notice, you are one of two half-orcs that are in the Emperor's employ, with the other being Shaq.
Wait, say that again? What now?
You are one of two half-orcs in the Emperor's employ.
Mm-hmm.
There's you, and then there's Shaq.
Yes. Okay. All right. So we come in, and is the Emperor in there? Like, we see him, and we speak to him.
All right. You make your way up through the doorway to the north, up the steps, across the two rickety bridges. Fortunately, you are not... you know the trick of the bridges now, so you don't have to make acrobatics checks to see if you fall off or not. And it's not... The wind isn't gusting like it was before. The fact that you are very recognizable. When people are like, hey, who is this person? Oh, wait, it's the half-orc. It's the female one. Got it.
Right, yep. There you go. Okay. Well, this is certainly much simpler than it was the last time.
All right. After you make your way across the second bridge, you make your way up to the ornate doors that lead directly into the Emperor's Palace.
All right. Well, Ruzo, will you think it would be better to knock, or just barging in probably wouldn't be the best way to set him into a good mood. She'll rap on the door nice and loud.
All right. You hear the echo of your knocking for just a moment before you hear the sound of a latch and the door opens just a crack. It says, hey, what is it?
Ruta Frigata and our company come to deliver some hopefully good news to the Emperor. Is he willing to speak with us today?
I guess he would be, but I wouldn't risk it.
Oh? Why is that?
He's in a good mood.
Well, a good mood should serve us well.
When you find out why. It's your funeral. Oh. And you see, opens the door. Do you okay. pass through?
We're going to need to get to the Emperor, but I, as the player, have a suspicion of what we're going to see, so might as well head in.
Yeah. You make your way inside, and you pass by the long benches with the piped hookahs on each side of the room. There aren't nearly as many patrons inside. very accurate. And there is that faint, sweet, almost savory scent that you've come to recognize as a scent of burning shiver. And you make your way inside, and the Emperor is not on his throne. He's in front of a large, white canvas. Or at least, mostly white. He seems to have almost comically large brush in his hand, and he's painting back and forth, but he's only painting with a single color, red.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he's humming as he does so.
Good morning to you.
You see, He, in the moment you begin to speak, he pauses his painting, his head whips around to you, stares at you for a moment, and then you see a grin slowly spread across his face. It says, it is indeed, isn't it? And he continues to paint.
So, what you painting?
A wall, canvas, paper. Really doesn't matter what it is.
Was there a particular impetus for your burst of creativity today?
You see, draws a wide stroke across, almost like an arc above his head. It says, yeah, cleaner didn't clean well enough today. Continues to paint. We'll be replacing her soon.
Okay. Ruth is going to cast her eyes around the room and see what else she can take in. The canvas and paint are certainly interesting,
yes.
But read the room.
You do see behind him the gnome that you saw before, standing next to the tall knife, which seems to just perpetually be there. Though you do realize that the teeth of the tall knife are different. They're also stained red.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those things are gonna click. And oh, we're just not gonna say anything yet. Someone else wanna speak up here for a second?
Did you come here to paint, or did you come here to watch my art?
We came here to invite you to an event that we're hosting.
Ooh, a party?
Yes, a celebration of strength, such as you have shown interest in before. As you know, we have had some experience with, winning fights. We've also had some experience making people's lives better.
Ooh, and is it going to be a game of Blood Pig? I love Blood Pig.
Jack makes a mental note to ask about Blood Pig later.
Well, not exactly. We were, however, going to be taking perhaps a few steps from your playbook. Your people, if I may be so frank, are, they don't seem to be prospering, and a ruler such as yourself deserves to have people that feel good under his care.
Sure. That's what the hallways are for.
True, but even beyond the hallways, out into the streets themselves, the people are certainly, I imagine, better off than they were before, I imagine. But we do think that perhaps a little boost to their morale would be in order. Something that might even help your own prestige, were it to go off well. What would you say to a bit of a staged fight between several of us, one that the people can come to and cheer and rally and perhaps see a little blood spilled, perhaps enjoy themselves a bit?
What she's trying to say is that what we really want to do is pit orc against orc and have a tournament of magnificent style to celebrate your highness.
She says, ooh, I like what she just said. Orc against orc.
Picture it. You got this one shining bastion of greatness, and then you have the villain that comes from the streets to make a name for himself.
As no other as the legendary Red Wizard.
Yeah, the Red Wizard comes.
The Red Wizard, a villain.
Yes.
I like it. I like it.
Well, I guess it depends on whose perspective you're viewing, but people could root for the Red Wizard or the champion of the Emperor.
Oh yeah, people root for the heel all the time. People love doing that kind of stuff. But you know, you got the Shining Paladin as the face, you got the Red Wizard as the heel, and then depending on what happens, you might have a new champion.
And this was... you're impetuous. You chose to do this all on your own. Nobody's forcing you to battle or
Shek and I have a bit of a history. We've known conflict. We have known friendship. If anyone can portray some of the ferocity and tenacity of our kin, it would be the two of us. You can trust that it will be a great show.
Sir, we're half-orcs. We're pretty vicious.
Sihi seems to nod in understanding. I'm still facing his canvas. He says, fine. You have my permission. I will allow it.
And we Excellent. Would also like to invite you, obviously.
Of course. We will need a sovereign to preside over the affairs, and if it comes to it, to signal the proper dispensing of the loser.
You see, he says, oh, I like that. I'll bring the tall knife.
I don't think that will be necessary.
Oh, but you said dispensing of the loser. What else could there be?
If anything, making a demonstration that people will never forget. It doesn't have to be quite so permanent as that, as, of course, we've every intention of serving you well.
But where is the fun in that? You could serve me just as well in this. You suggested all of this yourself. And
perhaps.
May the best orc win. I'll have to get another canvas.
And, Ruth has managed to work in her face into something more akin to a ferocious growl. Hopes they don't hear the grinding of her teeth. This has not been a fun experience. All right, sir. Then, if you will come out to your courtyard near the main of the city tomorrow, just before midday, then things should proceed from there.
Tomorrow it is. I hope you both enjoy your next sunrise.
Indeed. And I would like to say, the main reason I was leaning away towards the tall knife being there is because I wanted to present to you a special gift from Salvatore Scream.
Oh, well, how does a tall knife prevent you from presenting me with my gift?
Well, I suppose I wanted you to be the main focus, not the tall knife.
Oh, I will always be the main focus. And especially when I, as you so aptly put it, dispense with the loser personally. I'm sure that, well, enough eyes will be on me. Especially when I prove that my art is better than Salvatore's.
An intriguing premise, sir. We shall expect to see you then, and until then, we will set out spreading the word, getting people interested and ready to turn out.
Excellent, excellent. Oh, and give me a pretty smile, would you? A nice big one.
She'll show her teeth.
This good, good, good. Nice, long. Not as sharp as I would like, but it would make a nice crown. I hope you win.
She'll incline her head and turn to leave.
All right. And as you turn to leave the Emperor's presence, knowing well that he will also be participating in your event tomorrow at midday, and realizing that the stakes have suddenly been raised, you make your way out of the Emperor's palace and back into the drizzling rain.
Well, are we outside the earshot of guards and such? Are we among just peeps now?
Depends on how far you go.
Okay. Once we have reached sufficiently kind of far away from the compound itself, out back into the main area, she'll turn to the others and just kind of grimace a bit. Well, that went well and poorly, I think.
Yeah, what was that?
Evidently, Rutha has not the best strategy in talking to ruthless dictators.
Well, I can't say that I'm used to encountering sadists, like maniacs. I train so hard to be as diplomatic as I can, but...
Yeah, this guy's not not one for typical diplomacy.
No. No, he's not. But that's why we have means of convincing him all the same. So, shall we continue the good work?
I'm interested to know how you will diplomacy him into not taking the head of one of you tomorrow?
The way I see it, if either of us are on the tall knife, and he's the one activating it, then we are definitely close enough to enact the rest of our plan. If it's me, I don't feel no problem slowing the man down. If it's Jack, well, quite the same, I'm sure, without any of the qualms that I might otherwise
have. You ever seen a gladiatorial match before? They typically don't take the loser away. They finish it on the spot.
I doubt that the Emperor will miss an opportunity to use his favorite toy, even amongst so many, and exercise his power at the same time. He said pretty specifically that he would not want either of us to finish each other off. It's his idea, so I trust that he will put himself into a position where we can make some kind of decisive move one way or the other.
Awful big gamble.
So when exactly are we planning on... Are you guys planning on fighting?
Tomorrow? That's the whole point, right?
Alright, and then at one point in the fight, are we going to spring our surprise?
Oh. Well, if it comes down to... a signal or something like that. But the good thing is that, at least on my account, pretty much all the damage that I deal is non-lethal. Not that I have any doubt that Shaq will not give his best, but little chance that I'll leave him completely destroyed. We should probably change the tone earlier on, though, to preserve both of us for whatever will follow. So... I suppose we'll wait for you. When you've managed to get him situated, his gifts, I guess, placed, if it does come to that, then we'll spring the trap then. But the turning of the people, perhaps that's the more important thing to recognize.
Well, I would say our plan... Before the turning, after the turning of the people is just as important. Otherwise, one of you might not have a head tomorrow.
You're probably right. But at the moment, I can't really think to plan that far ahead. I it will come to us, I believe. We just have to trust that these things will work out for the greater good. And you can see that Rutha does truly believe that. It is a reliance upon the goodness of her goddess, but also just this deep-seated kind of optimism about the situation. She expects it to turn out the way it should.
All right. And with that hope in place, the rest of the day is before you, though evening is quickly starting to approach. What would you like to do with the rest of your time before the end of the day?
Should we try to go out and tell people about what's happening tomorrow?
We should definitely do some more of that. It might be good to meet up with Tanis and just see how things have gone with her.
All right.
Okay.
That's the next step. Yeah, let's do that. Let's find Tanis and talk to her.
All right. And for the time being, we'll switch over to Tanis and see what you've been doing. Tanis, you went and have purchased some food. Quite a big bit of food and some drink, and have gone out among the people in order to see what you can do to help. What would you like to do first?
Tanis would have left the majority of the food and drink that she purchased. I think she'd actually had made plans for it to be delivered. So she has some food and drink with her, but the majority of it she's saving for the actual party. But she would go first and foremost to the same people that she gave food to the other day. Go check in on those families, those children, and see how they're doing.
All right. You go to see how they're doing, and immediately they see you. And they have this look of intense gratitude in their eyes and says, "Thank you, little one. Thank you, Oracle. I didn't think we'd be able to make it to the next day without your help."
"Well, I'm glad that I could help, and I want to do more. But I want to be able to help everyone, and I think I can." And she turns back and she pulls down some more of the food off of Mukan, who has been forced to take on the role of pack mule for her, as she gives some more to them and says, "My friends and I are trying to plan a sort of a party just for everybody to come together, and there'll be food and there'll be drink. And there's going to be exhibitions. It should just be a time of joy and fun. Something to lift the spirits. Do you think you could spread that word?"
"I could, a bit. But it would probably be best if you went to the old church grounds, spoke there. It'd probably be easier if you told them. I mean, no one listens to Gretel, old Gretel, but if they saw the Oracle speaking on the steps of the old chapel, I think it could sway them better."
"I'll do that, but if it's all the same, don't discount yourself. I think people would listen to you more than you think. You're very wise. And your love for the children around here is not to be undercounted." And she will attempt a diplomacy check just to lift old Gretel's spirits.
All right, go for it.
Well, that is a natural 20. So.
All right. You see, old Gretel smiles up at you, her face beaming, and she almost blushes a bit and says, "Well, someone had to take care of the children. I do what I can. But You're right. You can't do it all on your own. Each of us, we all have to do our best. And you're right. We're much stronger together. Even if it's just taking care of kids.
And Tanis, who is the size of some of the kids that she's taking care of, just has to smile a little bit at that. But she says, we are all stronger together. All of us. We all need each other. And we can get through this. Now I'll go to the church, and I will spread the word as best I can.
All right, and I'll get as many people as I can to go to you. Let them know. There's a word from Apsu. Times will get better. And we're all stronger together.
And she will say goodbye to each of the kids, and she will go on her way. Yeah, so she'll go, she'll mount up on Mukan and make her way towards the old church.
All right. And you coast over many of the streets, and I'm assuming you're not hiding your presence anymore.
Yeah, not for this purpose. She's letting her presence be known, and she has used her sleeves of many garments to ensure that she appears to be wearing the priestly robes of her office.
And you, as you fly over the city, the people look up and see the silver dragon, and from what they can tell, and from their perspective, a priestess of the good metallic dragon Apsu. And they point up and they whisper to one another. And you hear some of them whisper Apsu's name as they track you. Others, seemingly slightly confused, whisper the name Bahamut. And others just knock them on and say, Dum-dum, it's Apsu, the other good dragon. And it says, oh, right, Apsu. And they watch as you make your way over to the old chapel. And when you do arrive, it is very old. It looks like it had been caught in a fire, possibly 20, 25 years ago. The roof has been mostly burnt out. The cobblestones in a few areas are still slightly blackened. But the stained glass, still good. And as you look around the church graveyard, seems to have flowers. Quite a few flowers. Growing yellow, green, orange. Unkempt, but still growing. And there does seem to be a wide, almost 50-foot in radius courtyard immediately before the steps.
Is there anyone who obviously seems to be taking care of the flower, I guess, the garden area?
You look, and there is one individual. A woman. A familiar one. The one that you'd met on the street before. But now, instead of slumping and shuffling, her actions are almost quick and hurried. And she seems to stare at the flowers with a much deeper intensity. And she's plucking them at the base, making sure that the roots stay intact. And she's sorting them by color and height of stem. And she almost seems to be doing, she's doing this with a sense of purpose, but also with a sense of almost OCD type of fervor.
10 will go over and greet her. And say, good day. Do you keep all of these flowers here?
Oh, I do. Well, I did. But I can see now. I could plant them in more places than just this churchyard. I used to only have time for this, but I can see this is important now. I'll make sure that this is well kept. I'll replant it better in rows, where they can grow stronger and taller.
Well, they are quite lovely.
They are beautiful in and of themselves, but just being beautiful isn't quite enough. I need to see my children again, you know.
I believe that you will see them again. And you must have faith that you will. Until then, don't discount the beauty that you share with this city. It lightens the place. It helps the rest of us to go on. And she will attempt a diplomacy check with this lady as well.
Okay, go for it.
So, that is a natural 19. So okay. That's going to be over 30.
Okay, you see she says, you see she looks at you and she smiles as she continues to sort the flowers. And says, yes, and I hope to share this beauty and goodness with everyone I meet. Would you like a flower?
Yes, thank you. And in return, would you like to come to a party that we're throwing tomorrow? It's going to be in the square, and there's going to have lots of food and drink, and there's going to be exhibition matches some of my friends are doing, all to try to raise the spirits of the people. Maybe you could bring your flowers.
You see, when you first start talking about the food and the matches and the party, you see she says, oh, well, I'm not sure if I have time. There's still so much to do. But when you mentioned that she can sell flowers, and that everyone will be there, she says, yes, I think I could do that, yes. This is so much sooner and faster than I was expecting. An opportunity. I have to take it. Thank you. Thank you, young one. I don't think I have your name, actually.
I'm Tanis, the Oracle of Apsu. And don't be afraid. When you walk in his light, he takes care of you.
You see, she smiles and says, well, you know what they say. The gods take care of those who take care of themselves. But I appreciate your words regardless. And the fact that you've given me an opportunity, well, I'll have to say that he's already blessed me.
Then I'll see you tomorrow. And Tanis will take her flower, and she will continue on her way.
All right. And the lady would have, if you just took the flower, she would have stopped you and said, oh, that will be 2 silver, please, by the way.
And with a smile and without a second thought, she will pay the lady.
All right, and then she will go, and she's like, I could use these 2 silver in order to buy a basket, and then I could hold more flowers. And yeah, she just continues back into the church courtyard and continues sorting. And you continue on your way. What would you like to do? Would you like to go and see if you can gather people at the churchyard in order to have one big speech or one big rally? Or would you like to go and continue just speaking with each one individually? Having a longer discussion?
I think she will... She will probably continue to kind of talk to individual people, just kind of make her way through and around. And it's a little bit of a scene anyway, because she does have a dragon walking behind her.
I know, right?
So if a crowd gathers, then she would speak to all of them, but it would be almost more like she's speaking to them because they came, not because she necessarily called for everyone to turn and listen to what she's has to talk about.
All right.
So she wants to kind of sow this information into the people and let it start to travel by word of mouth.
All right. And as you go and as you talk with some people, you realize some people have already spoken with another individual. And the phrase, stronger together, seems to be gathering speed, gathering strength. It seems to almost be the mantra that you're starting to hear.
Then she will keep that going and try to sow that hope and that courage into the people, and that they can face any challenge if they're together.
All right. And with your kind words and the actions and the hope that a filled belly brings, people are standing a bit straighter, are looking around and seeing things that can be fixed, and seeing what they can do for their city to make it better. Not just for the people, but for the children. What kind of city will they leave the next generation? These sorts of conversations start happening. And Old Corvosa, you've lived in the city. Old Corvosa was always known as the slum town. It was left behind for bigger and better things. But this is the very first time that you've heard people of the city speaking of bettering it. Perhaps, and you hear a few people even whisper that perhaps the dome is actually a blessing. They don't have to deal with the problems of the mainland, with the curse of the Crimson Throne and the Queen and her choices. They can stick together. They can do what they need to. And they can bring this city up regardless of what happens in the outside world. It's a very interesting topic for you to listen to.
And Tannis will listen, and keep a lot of her thoughts to herself. She loves Corvosa, and it's her home, and not this part of it. But she is happy for them that there seems to be a sense of expectation and hope that they can take some role in their own future instead of being helpless bystanders.
All right. And around this time, you've talked with, I'd say, almost a few hundred people before you run into your friends, the group. Rutha leading the pack and searching for you.
Tannis, there you are.
Oh, hi. Things have been going really well, I think. Everybody seems to be feeling much happier and more excited and hopeful. I think we're going to have a good group.
Grand. That is excellent news. We can't exactly go into detail on our meeting with the Emperor, but suffice to say, I have a lot of confidence for this time tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
It's already been probably a couple of hours. You can't have spoken to hundreds of people in like...
Oh yeah, this is... twilight at best, getting close to later at night, actually.
We should retire. Let's return to Scream's home. We can talk about our plans for the morning.
Tannis will nod and look around again, seeming to draw some sense of satisfaction and hope at the people around. And just quietly kind of say to herself, stronger together. And then she will go. And she will walk with the group, with Mukan just walking along, unless they seem like they want to talk about something that she shouldn't be around for.
Cool. End of day.
All right. And you return to Salvatore Scream's home, and Scream is already inside. He seems to be cooking a very meager dinner. Mostly, well, limp vegetables, and some rainwater that does have this strange, familiar greenish tint. He says it seems okay to eat. As far as he can tell, it's mostly just rainwater.
Does Rutha, as a paladin, have the ability to, like, purify water with magic?
I think that is a cantrip that mostly clerics get. I don't think paladins get cantrips.
Okay, I'm just checking. My computer has pretty much gone kaput for now. It's being reset, so this is just my phone right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, is there any way for you to boil the water? It's certainly a way to help it be a little bit more healthy.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Very good, then.
So, yeah, he continues to boil the water, and comes out to a passable stew would be disingenuous to stew.
Could Shaq maybe give him a hand and lend some of our ingredients to making something maybe a little bit better?
I don't know how many ingredients Shaq has right now, though.
Tanis will take the remainder of the food that she had with her if there's anything left. It's probably not a whole lot, but, you know, fruit, nut, like dried fruit, nuts, whatever food that she had left over from giving out to the public, she would give it to the cause.
Shaq, don't you have a few spices or something that you don't usually use?
I'll be honest, I have no idea what I have right now.
Just go with it.
Sure.
And you realize, yes, you do have a few figs, a few dates that you picked up, from the Glorio's house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Not as exotic as I usually like to carry around, I guess. But yeah, this'll. Yeah. See what you can do with this.
Moroccan food.
Exactly. And you see, he says, "I could do something," and he makes date stew. Salvatore Stream does not seem to be the best cook, but he keeps himself alive.
Rutha has a stroke of genius and takes some of those nuts, grinds them into a nice paste, spreads them on a piece of bread, reduces the dates to a reduction, I guess, and spreads those on another piece of bread, slaps the two together, and hands them to Scream. Now tell me if that doesn't put a smile on your face.
What is this? I've never seen anything like it.
This is a delicacy from my time in the temple.
It's called a sandwich.
Well, the elvish word is perhaps a little tough to wrap your face around, but the sandwich isn't, and she'll hand it to him.
He'll take it. He'll sniff it. Take a tiny bite. Oh, this is good. You see, he takes a bigger bite, and a third, and a fourth, and proceeds to finish the sandwich. He says, what do you call it?
I call it comforting food.
I like that.
It's a bit more work than we keep them preserved in various jars and things back at the temple, but making a simple reduction like that isn't too tough, so we might not have as much to make more later, but at the very least, it can make our evening a little bit brighter, so.
See, Salvatore watches He thinks for a moment and is going to make a spellcraft check, and rolled really well, actually.
Okay.
And he's going to turn to you and says, "You're a pally, right?"
"Indeed. I serve Arian Road, Lady of the Moon."
"Perhaps you could make us do a little better. Something to warm the belly."
"Yes, I suppose there might be something I could do. I don't know."
I don't know. Enhance the water of this stew?
Let's see. Real talk. If Rutha, does a lay on hands to kind of channel and light her hands up a bit, I don't imagine that it's going to be, any actual change to the water, but...
So, he's essentially asking you to cast the spell Enhance Water.
See, okay, great. Yeah, alright. She'll do that. Great. I have nothing in front of me that could have conveyed that, so alright.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. So, what kind of... Do you want the stew water to turn into ale, beer, mead, or wine?
We're cooking...
It also cleans all contaminants out of the water, so that...
Yeah, can it be... I'm trying to think, what's the closest thing to, a broth, then? Mead has that honey...
Balsamic wine?
Beer... I've had really good beer cheese stew. Were there any cheeses in our remainder of food?
Ooh, yes. You got a lot of cheese from Glorio.
Perfect. We're gonna make a beer cheese soup, and some nice crusty bread is gonna go great with that.
Ooh, yeah. And Salvatore's got a lot of crusty bread. Don't worry about that. So yeah, you make a delicious beer cheese stew, and this is the first time you've seen Salvatore Scream actually smile as he goes through the meal and says, I need to invite paladins out more often.
Well, with any luck, things will be looking up a good bit before too much longer. But this is one of the talents that comes with my domain, I suppose. Arian Road sheds her light in a myriad assortment of ways, and this is just one more simple thing that we can do.
You know, Salvatore, you are very sensitive to movements of the spirits and of the realm beyond this physical one. I think that's why your muse came to you. Have you ever thought about, channeling a muse that can make this instead of freaky paintings?
See, sits up and looks at you and says, "And abandon my current muse?"
"Well, kind of feels like she abandoned you, so, who dumped who is not really probably the biggest problem. I just think, for the long run, you might think about someone better for you."
She takes a breath, and at first looks almost angry, as if you could say that there would be someone better than his muse, but then he deflates a bit and says, "Well, if I don't find it soon, there won't really be much of a long run, so I guess there's that."
"We are still working toward giving you all the help that we can, and I agree with my friend. Between the two of us, we recognize that silver light shines brightly, especially in these dark corners. Your decision is up to you, but there's always room to make the world a better place, so some consideration is certainly in order." And she'll pass him another helping of the soup.
and he will take it gladly. And he says, perhaps after, you know, this whole business is over with, I might, maybe, might think about it.
Consideration is all anyone ever asks. And she'll put down the rest of her soup and then kind of look to everyone else. Well, now that our meal is well done and blessed by our respective gods, goddesses, and dragons, we do have a few things to address before we finish, before we set out tomorrow. Tanis, you, I suppose, bear with us as much as you can, but we'll, I'm sure you'll be given some indicator if things aren't suitable, and you can just plug your ears, yeah?
Just know that the main event is going to be the gladiator fight between the two orcs.
Yes, it's true. The stakes will be rather high, and lives could be lost as things get underway. I do believe that what we're fighting for, these people's well-being, is worth laying our lives down, but I would not require it of those who don't know they're even offering it. So we should be as careful as we can be. But these people need the light. It's been a very, very rough time for them. So I think one of the main things to prepare tonight will be some contingencies, some methods of healing in a pinch, maybe some spells of protection we could activate, or preparation for things that may be thrown at us. Did any of us get a good bead on perhaps what the Emperor's deal is, a school of magic, or maybe...
Oh, I'm out of here. You all have a great night. And Tanis is going to take her exit.
Very well. Did anybody, like, has anybody read the Emperor in any way? We haven't really rolled, like, suspicion checks against him or major arcana type stuff, I don't think, have we?
Not that I know of, no.
Okay. Can we do that kind of, not retroactively in the timeline, but looking at what we've seen around him, seen him do, what he's done to us at different points, can we kind of pool our memory to maybe do sort of a knowledge arcana check based on what we know about him?
I would say choose two people to make an arcana check.
Okay.
And yeah. And let me know what their role is.
Sure.
And let me know what you're attempting to determine.
Yeah. I guess my question as a player, the arcana check, can it tell us gameplay wise his class, his level, any of those things?
You might be able to determine class. Okay. Definitely not level.
Okay.
Or what spell he used on us?
That one was already checked, and I don't remember if you guys actually passed or not.
I'm thinking Sindar tried to identify something he cast and did not make it.
I think that's correct. All right, so have your two people make their arcana checks.
Who else has good arcana?
Sindar, I imagine, has, yeah, a pretty high one. Does anyone have just a generally decent intelligence score? Ruthus is okay, and her knowledge is rather specific for the religion, and I think nobility has a decent showing as well.
I don't really have anything for it.
Okay. Then,
I guess not that great of a role, but so 21, and I guess Sindar would be trying to just gauge his strength, like how high a spell level he can cast. And types, if possible.
Hard to tell for those. As far as you know, you've only seen him cast one spell. And hard to say, well, he's got all these other ones if he can cast this one. But you do recall that the spell was powerful enough to stop all of you in your tracks immediately. And you do recall that when he first cast the spell, he began to sing. And that seemed very important to the spell itself.
I don't know if it would be covered in this or not, but did Sindar notice anything like a focus?
I believe it's vocal only.
Okay. Now, player assumes this is an arcane caster trying to get that properly in game, though.
Hmm.
Yep, components, vocal.
Okay, interesting. Silence might be an important thing to bring to bear against someone like that.
Do you have such spells?
I am not sure. I'm still trying to get all my stuff booted up and situated at the moment, but let me see if silence is in the paladin spell list.
Sindar mentioned that that's not something he can do.
You would get it if you're an anti-paladin, but it is not in the paladin spell list.
Zone of silence either.
Is anyone confident in their combat maneuvers? Isn't silence something that can be done via combat maneuvers?
I mean, you would have to attempt to gag him.
There's not a throat punch or something in there. I thought I remembered something like that.
I mean, if you're throat a punch. Monk, then yes, you can do that. But
that's funny. Interesting. If it's a matter of,
we could call in a favor.
I think Leora is long gone. She's off in her.
I feel like if I called in that favor, that it wouldn't be.
Yeah, what are the chances the other guy comes back with her, though, and causes more trouble?
GM, would I be able to, I have in my, would she have to be there? Would I have to locate her for me to be able to call in that favor?
You're not sure. She never specified.
Actually, Shaq is going to try to see if he can, I don't know, not summon her, but see if he can, maybe call in that favor somehow,
So what do you attempt?
He's just going to say out loud, and hopefully Leora hears, I don't know how. He's going to say, hey, I think I might have an idea. You guys are trying to cast, some sort of silence spell or something?
Perhaps. If it's something any of us are capable of, I suppose.
Might have an idea. And Shaq will just kind of close his eyes and say, hey, Leori, you can hear this. Kind of want to call him that favor.
Well, he's already said it.
And as you close your eyes and focus in on Leori, you feel the faintest prick at the back of your neck, and it makes you jerk ever so slightly. And you place your hand on the back of your neck and pull it away, and you can see what appears to be a drop of blood on your hand. But as you look, it's almost as if the blood spreads out into a thin sheet and then solidifies into three words. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Can we see that?
Yes. Yes, you can.
We can?
Yes. It is okay. A physical change where there seems to be words written in blood on his hands.
Okay. Ruth is going to gesture. Just wait. Before we do anything like that, Leoria is a priestess of Zonkathon, a pain god. I can't imagine that the price for whatever this favor is will be anything that will help us.
The price has already been paid. It's a favor. She owes me a favor.
It'll make things more interesting. Let him do it.
All I'm saying is her being evil, she might have access to a silence spell. I don't know.
Maybe she could come and help us fight tomorrow. Inflict pain.
The goal of tomorrow is to help bring these people out of as much pain as we can.
Listen, Rutha. Rutha, I understand that. I'm not going to ask her to kill anybody. I'm not asking her. All I'm going to ask her is to cast one spell.
Seems a little cheap to call her a favor.
I don't see why we're not asking her to help kill somebody.
Because some of us have sensibilities about that. And he kind of gives a side eye to Rutha.
We're already going to kill the Emperor.
Which I totally respect.
And that's the way we're going to liberate the people, right?
And he does need to be removed. I will agree with that.
We also haven't determined... Okay. Now that we're kind of sitting here discussing it, sorry, I haven't really contributed a lot because I don't have magic, but we really haven't decided how we're going to off this guy anyway.
It would be better if it were certainly his powers stripped away. Making it a more even fight is a good thing, but to... To truly win the day, the people have to see light win. People have to see
this man whose obsession... People will see light win.
But his obsession with the shedding of blood is something that must be overcome. The people can't just be turned loose to say their bloodlust against the man who has hurt them so much.
Rutha, the man has access to his voice... He's going to be able to inflict on harm on not only us, but the people around, which he knows is against our interests for harm to come to them. I'm saying I know you have your sensibilities, but I'm saying we use this favor for her to cast a spell of silence. That's it. I'm not saying we use her any other way.
But I don't see why we're not killing him. We are killing him, right?
Yes, yes. Well,
almost certainly.
Of course. I'm just saying I don't want to get... Listen, I don't want to get her involved any more than I have to, but we have this favor, and I'm a little bit pragmatic. Call it wasteful if I didn't use it.
I suppose, at the very least, it is a small favor to ask from a priestess of a god of pain. There are far worse things that could be brought about and wreaked in that god's name And so I will trust that this decision will bring about the best good, and I will act in accordance with my compunction when the moment comes.
All right.
I think that Arian Road will honor that.
Leora, are you still there? Chat closes his eyes.
You don't feel any more pinpricks. You don't feel anything. You're not sure.
Well, okay. Leora, if you're still there, when the time comes, and I call on you, would you be able to cast a spell of silence on the Emperor?
You see for a moment there's silence. And you're not sure if she heard you. And then you feel another pinprick. This one on your forearm. And you slap it, and it's almost as if you got a bee sting.
Yeah.
And as you pull your hand away, you see that your forearm is actually bruised. And you can see it's almost like a deep, dark purple across the faint, mottled green of your natural skin color. But it's only a single word, as it seems to form. It's something that you recognize. Try.
That's about as good as we're going to get, I think. So, agreed. You don't have to respond, Leori, but just, you're going to be on call tomorrow, and I'll let you know when.
The watchword is stronger together.
What do you mean the watchword? Sorry.
I've thought about this, and when the moment comes to turn the tide and to stir the people, that phrase will be our signal, our sign.
Aren't
to,
you
going to
say
begin.
That all a lot tomorrow?
Yeah, aren't they?
Well, certainly, but I think it will be pretty apparent when it's time to do so.
And Leori, the next time I mention your name, that'll be your signal to act.
It's good. No response. No more pain.
And Shaq's just going to hold on to the hope that he heard it, that she heard it.
All right. All right. So you have your plans. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about or do?
I will need to prepare the Emperor's wine.
Ruth is going to get ready for some protection from evil.
And Shaq's going to take Ruth aside and actually have a conversation with her.
Okay.
Ruth. So what do you know about the deity behind this sword? And he holds up the falchion that has the, I don't have the image with me or anything like that, but he holds up the falchion that,
Yeah. Sarenrae. Well, what I know of Sarenrae is that she is in this realm, this aspect, a goddess of light, of heat, fervency. She is the great enemy of undeath. She has a holy text, actually, and Ruth is gonna. It's almost like she's kind of forgotten the difficulty of that negotiation and is now pretty excited. She kind of goes into her bag nearby, or I guess goes up the stairs and comes back with a book. I don't know. She pulls out the Way of Light and Truth, which is the tome of Sarenrae's clerics and soldiers and paladins, and she pulls it out. This is actually an excellent read. When we first arrived here, I
wondered at some of the similarity between Sarenrae and my own goddess. I think perhaps you'd find this interesting to read, at least. She's quite the goddess. Arian Rhode can be fierce in her wrath, but Sarenrae is known for her zeal and fervency in driving out darkness and bringing good to people. Here, and she'll just she started to ramble, so she'll just hand the book to him and some reading for whenever you're ready, suited.
I'm not saying no. Just I want you to hold on to that. I'm not saying no. Okay,
oh.
But you're probably more responsible. Well. I'd probably lose it, to be honest. Let's be real.
Fair
enough.
I was
just kind of curious because I think whatever kind of influence that sword has is, I don't know, something feels different. And I'm not sure what. And out of character, rage, I chose as Shaq's rage ability, Celestial Totem. Which, you know, I don't know if we're going to be able to use it or not, but, yeah, invisible, it's got invisibility purge on all non-good characters adjacent to him, and I figured that would be a good effect that the sword could possibly have.
Yeah, it's okay. Like a burst of daylight, too, right?
Yeah, I just, I was just kind of curious, I think this thing's starting to get to me a little bit. Like,
well, you've had some dealings with another sun deity before, and you can see her demeanor kind of. She blinks it back a little bit, but there's some history there too.
Yeah.
This may be a profitable shift, perhaps. After all, it is an impressive weapon by any measure.
And, yeah, it's big, ain't it?
Prodigious.
But yeah, I'll probably be coming to you a little bit more because it seems like this thing's starting to have an effect on me.
Well, glowing holy swords are something of a specialty of mine, I suppose. And she'll smile, she'll give him a good clap on the shoulder there, and she'll put the book back. It's good to have these talks. We've come a long way.
Yeah.
It occurs to me, though, that we may need to spend some time learning of each other a little more. I know that you and I have some history, and Tanis and I have gone for a long time together, but I know almost nothing about Sindar. Some of the others that we've interacted with, we've known fairly well, but there's still a bit of learning we could all do.
Yeah, we could afford to have a couple brews or something like that, get to know each other. Definitely down for that.
Perhaps you're right. When the time is right.
And, hey, Steele, I totally empathize.
I've got bits and pieces, but I don't have anything long drawn out like some of my other characters.
But yeah, Shax just wanted to alleviate some curiosity and everything. Right. And he's just gonna say, "Well, I appreciate you being patient with me. I've had a lot of bad dealings with deities in the past, and I'm still not 100% on board with this. But if one of them's gonna give me a sword, I'm not going to complain."
No. Ruth is not a brewer as such. It's just, it's the magic itself. No, it's Barkus who's actually gone into some of the brewing before. So that's something to remember for next time.
Indeed.
Ooh, that's a good question.
That depend on if Sindar followed Cone out for the preparation.
Give the player a quick refresher on how that actually went down.
Essentially, you all set out the three items that Glorio Arconas gave you. One was Ungledust, the other one was the Robe of Powerlessness, and the third one was Old Mage Poison. Cone had mentioned that you could probably set up the poison, and upon touching it, decided, you know what, I'll just take this with me. And that was the last that you saw of it.
So would there have been a check beyond sense motive for that? Could there have been?
Beyond sense motive, I mean, Cone was planning on taking it in the first place in order to prepare it for the Emperor, so...
Right, so...
Sense motive would have made the most sense.
Yeah, honestly, Sindar probably wouldn't have picked up on it then.
Alright.
That was kind of a weird response about... Didn't Cone say something about there's a better use for this?
Did you, Cone?
Yes, I said it was too good for the.
Okay. Well, in that case, it seems to be a bit more clear.
So yeah, Sindar would have thought that was a bit weird, but God knows what he's doing. Carry on.
All right. So, Cone, you go to make the preparations. Everyone else goes to sleep, I assume, to prepare for the next day.
Well, have we determined how we're actually going to... I mean, we don't actually have a plan of attack for the Emperor right now.
Cone will don the garb of the Blackjack, and when he is distracted fighting us, I think that the plan for you all was to strike then, but as far as getting him into the robe and using the poisons, that was something I didn't really have the specifics on.
I was planning on presenting him the robe as a honor type thing and giving him the wine. Perhaps before your fight begins, you could give him a. You can give him your salute, and I will present to him the gifts.
I'm sorry, I missed a lot of that since I was out. What is our what are we presenting? Sorry.
The robe that weakens has been decorated to be in line with some of with Scream's work.
Okay.
So it's a decorative item and something that hopefully the Emperor will be interested in wearing.
Are we presenting that to him before or after the fight?
The fight shouldn't end up taking longer than a few minutes, I don't think, because we determined, I think, that the robe made you feel a lot weaker after like a minute, right? Was that what we said?
About that amount of time, yeah.
Okay. Now I'm gonna try not to split hairs here, but like in a fight, that's a lot of rounds of combat.
It is.
So
10 rounds.
Yeah.
So hand it to him and well, there may be a few rounds before the fight gets started.
To figure this out,
notices in the middle of the fight before everything's ready, that could be bad.
Right. We should be able to draw out maybe two or three good exchanges between the two of us before anything seems amiss. All of my strikes are non-lethal when it's with my special sword, but I don't know. Is there anything that bars us from convincingly not truly dealing exceptional damage to one another? Like, is there a mechanic, I guess player asking, is there a game mechanic for like pulling your punches or, you know, carefully striking to not deal as much?
Yeah, you can do that. And it does give you a penalty to your attack rolls. But if you want to make it believable, you'll have to make bluff checks.
Could you do a lot of painting and stuff?
Yes. You could make bluff checks to feint, and then pull your punch.
Sorry.
Do you have to make Wait, what now?
You gotta say that out loud.
I mean, you're not gonna be in the middle of the fight and say, "I'm about to faint."
No,
I'm not really gonna hit you.
Right.
But you would have to declare, mechanic-wise, that I intend to do non-lethal damage. I believe you take a -4 to your attack roll.
Okay.
But you want to make convincing for the Emperor.
Right.
So you'd be making bluff checks to make it convincing to him.
Well, my charisma score is not great, guys.
Well.
Like, at all.
Maybe there's a way to... Maybe there's a way to hinder your... To handicap you a bit before it ever gets started. If you're, and this is me, if it's a power attack, it lowers your attack in order to up the damage, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, with her armor class, I feel like if Shaq is power attacking, then it's probably going to be pretty okay. And
yeah, Shaq's actually going to say, "Hey, Rutha, I'm not going to be able to pretend to hit you. I'm not really good at that."
Don't worry. That's why I can certainly play the role of the tank, for lack of a better term. I can take the hits. It should be all right, especially with this fine new armor. It will just be a matter of taking them in a way that doesn't betray that we're not doing our worst against one another.
Well,
if anything,
we
could play up the drama of the situation so that the Emperor feels like he's still entitled to his final reward for us, I guess, now that we're up that creek.
Right. Shaq will say, "Well, I can kind of just kind of go crazy on you and everything, and like I lose a little bit of the ability to hit when that happens." So,
understandable. And
so I think you should be good. I mean, and I know that, you know, with that armor and everything, you should be fine. But I just don't think pretending is going to be my best option here.
One of the benefits of my particular channeling smite is that if I strike a living being, I can actually heal them. That may look maybe a little suspicious, but if worst comes to worst, I should be able to heal you with a strike if necessary, just by way of encouragement, I guess.
All right, sounds cool.
I think we have enough confidence in the actual proceeding of the fight that we should be all right. And Tanis's work seemed to be turning the opinions of the people rather well. The only thing I suppose we need to secure now is that we know the people will be ready to turn when the moment arrives.
Well, maybe whoever loses, I think the Emperor is going to probably want to see one of us die, right?
That seems to be the idea, at least.
Well, maybe whoever wins can, I don't know, vouch for the loser or something? Like, show, like, kind of protest and maybe try to get the people on his side?
If we're trying to decide the outcome of the fight ahead of time... I would certainly be willing to raise a voice of protest. An honorable match between the two of us, resulting in your execution, just to sate the Emperor's lust, seems like the kind of tipping point that might really be a game changer. So
yeah.
If we play it right, we should be able to pull it off before you're in any serious danger at all, I suppose.
So the plan is for Jack to lose.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was... I'm not going to be... First of all, in a fair fight, he's going to win. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Second of all, I can't pretend worth crap. So...
Very well. Then perhaps we should just plan to continue with what we need to do, and when the push when push does come to shove, we'll be ready. I think it... I have faith it's going to work out.
Once the Emperor knows that I am not on his side, I will also potentially help sway the public.
Of course. If you're dressed as one of their folk heroes, it will be a huge help.
And also, them seeing the Red Wizard get kind of his butt handed to him probably would be something.
Surely. And when the Shining Paladin speaks out against the great evil, I think we may just see a tipping point.
I think we got a plan here. Only thing here. When are we getting the coat on the Emperor?
Before you start fighting.
Just before the fight begins, yes. Just seems like the best fight, course of action.
Who's going to present it to him?
Yes.
Blackjack?
Yes.
In the Blackjack outfit?
I will not make myself apparent to the general public. Just to the Emperor.
Okay. Would your appearance be cause for alarm for him? Does Blackjack have like a reputation for giving this Emperor guy trouble? We know he was there with the Queen, but right.
He knows what I'm wearing.
Oh, has Cone been wearing that this whole time?
He was wearing it when you guys were fighting the Chokers.
Oh, okay. I didn't catch that. All right, so he knows that we've got cool armor. The Emperor does.
He knows that one person in your party was wearing the Blackjack armor. And this is the point where he said, you're a bunch of cheaters.
Right, okay. Huh. Interesting. He didn't say anything about it specifically being that Blackjack armor, though. Okay, cool. Then that shouldn't be a problem either. Is there like a mask or something that like makes it like, oh, that's Blackjack. That's not just that... I don't know how many Puka they ever would have seen before, but like, you know, they would know more clearly that that's who that is and not associated
with... people see a person out in a black and purple card-based motif, and they're probably going to guess it's Blackjack.
Right, but they're not going to guess that it's the Puka that's been traveling around with the Emperor's Stooges.
Oh, they haven't been seeing me.
Yeah, he's been invisible this whole time. Yeah. That's true. An advantage true. That we have.
Nice. Excellent. Then I believe, at least as near as I can tell,
the only people that would have seen Cone would be the people in the Emperor's Chamber when he was fighting.
True.
And the crime boss, I mean, the mafia guy.
The Emperor? Yes.
All right, so back to the question. Is Blackjack going to be the one presenting the robe, or is... How is this going to go down? Because we need to present the gifts to...
Yes.
The Emperor somehow.
I was thinking that Rutha could make some sort of speech, but... I will be the one presenting it to the Emperor himself.
Okay.
That sounds good enough to me.
Yeah, it seems to make sense. That'll work.
Basically, you acknowledge the Emperor, and then I will present him his gifts.
Right, like the public doesn't need to see the robe like presented. It's just a personal thing. Right.
Go ahead.
They will see the robe appear, and it might be fascinating.
Oh, yeah. If there's a robe, like, floating in all of a sudden, with no person visible to carry it, that might be a quite the spectacle,
I guess.
Well,
as soon as he dons it, they will see it appear, basically.
Yes. Yes.
That'd be kind of cool.
Wow, that is a pretty cool, theatrical.
That'd be very theatrical. That'd be really cool. If you can convince the Emperor of that.
Perfect.
Cone's a rogue, right?
Yes.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
So, charisma's not a problem for him.
Shouldn't be. Very good.
And he actually has very good diplomacy.
Good. Very good.
Does anyone sense anything we might be missing? It seems to me that we've thought things through, and all that remains is to make it happen. All
right, let's just go over what we're going to do one more time. We're going to get everybody together, right?
Yes. We've spread the word, and around midday tomorrow, people will be gathering in the city square.
Okay.
Pretty much there's no going back from this plan. We're either going to be dead or fighting.
I know. I just kind of want to review it just to kind of get a kind of a timetable in my mind. So people are going to be gathering in the square. I think Brutha, you're going to make a speech, maybe say something about us being stronger together and just kind of get that started. And, you know, kind of under the guise of being stronger together under the Emperor, of course, right?
Well, if he's around to hear it, yeah.
And then when the Emperor shows up, acknowledgement of the Emperor, I come stumbling in pretending to be some drunken rendition of the Red Wizard. You and I have the fight, I lose. And then, let's see.
Then he should have had the robe and drunk the wine.
He'll be weakened, and then Rutha, you'll speak on my behalf. When the Emperor inevitably doesn't give in, then the people hopefully will rebel, and then that'll be our chance.
May Arian Road favor us with her grace.
Yeah,
it seems
not a great plan.
As good a plan as we have. I think it's as fine a plan as any other.
I mean, you're right. It could go either way. I didn't mean it's not a great plan. It's actually about as good as we can get.
Agreed. With that, we have rest to prepare to. I will be up early in the morning preparing my spells, but until tomorrow.
Yep. Sounds good.
All right.
Shaq takes a quick look at his arm and the bruise on it. And gives kind of concerned look of hope. And kind of just closes his eyes and say, Leori. He didn't say your name. He did not say your name.
Okay.
He did not say your name. He's like, I hope you come through for me. And he's going to go to bed.
All right. And as the rest of you go and get some rest, your plan in place, discussions had, and the next morning, getting ready to stretch before you.
Quick question.
Yes.
I didn't see an answer to the question in Hangouts relating to the contract and what exactly Tanis is required to do or not to do. So during all this time that she was out by herself, she would have been thinking over that contract, those requirements, and trying to decide if she should even be present, like if the Emperor should even know that she's there. Essentially, I'm trying to figure out if she's going to be in a place, if she's there, where she's called to defend the Emperor, if she would have to do that.
She would have to do that.
Okay. In that case, she's going to take steps to make sure that she is not around.
Okay. Good to know. All right. As the rest of you prepare for what could be quite an eventful morning and midday, I think that is where we will end for tonight. As it has just hit 11 o'clock, and cool. I am getting tired.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is a great place to stop. That's great. Yeah.
Awesome. Plans are being made.